Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Shippy shipwreck, what are you doing, my brother?
It's so good to see you, man.
Right back at you, buddy.
Where are you?
Got to come back out here. We got a bottle of Jack waiting for you. You're ready to go, man.
Well, cheers to you. Cheers to you. Good to see you. Brother. I've got some news, Zach, which might surprise you. Hopefully, will please you. I've actually given up booze just recently.
I follow you on Instagram, but I know what's going on.
You know what's going on. So, yeah, it reached the point where...
You know what's going on with your prostate exams? You got a clean bill of health. Your diet's on point. You're good to go.
Well, it took me a while to realize, but, you know, I finally reached the point where I was like, it's fun till it's not fun, right? And then you got to make some changes.
No, I never reached that point. It was always fun for me. It never got non-fun. No, he's just... No, like everybody asked me, they just said... When did you stop drinking? Well, I mean, put it this way. The doctor told me when I was 42, he said, Zach, if you keep drinking the way you're rolling with you and the berserkers, he goes, by the time before you're 45, you'll have a liver transplant. So that was pretty much the end right there. That was the end of the poem. So nothing more needs to be said. But I mean, I'll tell you the whole time, we had a good time while it was rolling. Now, while the pub was open, it was nothing but laughs, man.
So. Let me ask you this, Zach. Was it hard for you to say goodbye to that life, or because of the health, you know, presentation and facts that you were given, was it a fairly easy decision? Like, did you have to wrestle for a while, or was it an easy walk away for you?
No, it was easy. I mean, I don't think, put it this way, because a lot of people are like, oh, it's a struggle every day. I guess everybody is different, you know what I mean? For me, it's not. It's just like how people say marriage is work or whatever. If anything's work, and you got to hang out with somebody, then you should be around that person, man. I mean, if it's exhausting, bro, I mean, it's just like, stop already. It's just like, no, I just was like, people were like, what did you replace it with? I go, nothing. I still do that. When I used to lift weights, I'd bring a 12 pack with me when I go to the gym. You know what I mean? So, but I mean, you know, no, I just drink coffee now. So, I mean, it's just, you know, coffee and water. That's it. But, no, I didn't. Like, I still go to bars. I still hang out. The guys still drink. Everybody hangs. I mean, it doesn't bother me. Like, you know what I mean? I still laugh about all the time. We all get hammered and just, like, crying, laughing about all these, like, goofy, ridiculous stories. But, you know, because you know how it always goes. It goes, no great story ever started with a salad.
Or a soda. Yeah.
Exactly. So, I mean, no, nothing but lots of laughs. And, I mean, you know. It's just, thank goodness nobody ever really got hurt really bad or anything like that. But I mean, it's just, I haven't had a drink in like 12 years, but I mean, I still hang out with my friends. I still go out and it's almost like I'm a team owner now. You know, it'd be like David Beckham asking him, oh man, do you miss playing? And he's like, well, no, I missed the camaraderie with the guys and I missed the playing. Yeah, it was fun when I was playing. But like David Beckham owns Manchester United now. Now he's involved with trades. He's involved with the concessions, you know, what what kind of restaurants they're putting in the stadium. I mean, like down to how to make parking better at the stadium. I mean, he's involved every day he wakes up. His day revolves around how he can make everything better. So, I mean, he's just like he just shifted his passion over to being a team owner that he was when he was a great player. So it's no, now I don't sit around. I've never gone, man, I really could use a drink right now. I did that. Now I don't, you know, like, do I miss all the years in high school? I had awesome friends in high school. We had awesome times and drinking down at the sewer plant. But no, I don't. I'm happy where I'm at now, man. You know what I mean? I'm happy. You know, I was happy fisting my prostate and having a cocktail. And now I'm happy fisting my prostate and having a coffee, you know?
So if anything, you enjoy it more because you're present in that moment.
I enjoyed it when I wasn't present. It's all good. It's all perspective, man. It's all how you look at it. Yeah, but I mean, just have fun with it until you're not having fun with it. Then just go, ah, it's the end of this. So, you know, then next you just move on.
Yeah, and I'm the same as you. I still, like, I've been to pubs quite a few times in the last few days whilst not drinking, and I've still enjoyed it just as much. And I like that kind of, like, you know, you're sitting around, you're bullshitting, you're telling stories. Like, for me, it's that social side of it is the most fun part, and you don't need to lose that side, do you? Obviously, there are some people who, like, can't be around it, but I still love being around it. It's just, yeah, I can't partake.
Yeah, well, you know, that's why I just sniff glue and I, you know, eat paint chips now. And the results are astoundingly the same. I wake up in the morning with my pants around my ankles and all the fellas are like, bro, you were hilarious last night. I don't remember any of it, but I mean, but it is less filling. So less calories. And I, you know, so it's better for, you know, to keep my diet on point. That Black Label Miss America diet, you know what I mean?
I got to let you know two things, Zach, before we go any further. The first is I just spoke to Nita Strauss yesterday, and she had such lovely words to say about you in regards to this thing that we're talking about. She actually started crying when she was talking about it. I'll send you the little clip. It was beautiful. But she said when she kind of got freshly sober and she was trying to figure out, like, her way forward, she said that you were one of the first people to put your arm around her and just be like, you're going to be all right. And your exact words, I think, were, little hurricane, don't be a pussy. And
yeah, that's the truth,
she was yeah, so grateful for your help. And she was
awesome, man.
She's amazing. What a player.
Yeah, she's an amazing player and just great people. So, you know what I mean? So, yeah, Nita's awesome. Love her.
And the other thing I want to say is the last time, obviously, we saw each other was when I was out on tour with you. And from the bottom of my heart, I need to say thank you, because I've been on tours with punk bands, rock bands, hip hop bands, ska bands, every kind of, like, genre and, you know, outfit and operation I've ridden on the bus with and been out with. But nobody has ever treated me half as good as the way you guys did. You made me feel like part of the family. And I just kind of had such amazing memories of that tour that helped get me through that lockdown period, you know, because pretty much as soon as we parted ways, yeah,
well,
it was
works,
like,
it works both ways. Everybody over here loves the Shippy Shipwreck, man. Come on. How could you not love the Shippy Shipwreck? You're the best.
Well, I woke up that morning after the Birmingham show and I was in my bunk. And you know, when you have those, like, mornings where you have the beer fear, and I just woke up and I was like, oh no, I was like, the guys are going to be so pissed off at me. I was a fucking asshole last night. And you busted my balls, but you treated me, you know, still the same. And I'll never forget that.
And I poured you another Jack and gave you another, I gave you another beer. So you're fine. I said, here you go. We'll fix that. There you go.
It was amazing. Yeah, some of the happiest times of my life. So thank you,
yeah,
Jack.
It was good times, man, for sure. That was a great one. Right,
how is it? Thank you, dude. How is it being back out?
It's awesome. It's just pretty much like, it feels just like we left off right where we started, you know? So, I mean, it was just like when we actually played the rave in Milwaukee, it felt like, I mean, it was 22 months was our last show was at the rave. And then when we were playing, we were just there playing there. It was like, wow, this is like, seems like we went home for a month and now we're here. So it was definitely, it was awesome for sure.
It's funny how time works in that way, doesn't it? Weren't you out with Black Label when the COVID shutters came down? Weren't you literally on tour as everything got locked?
Well, no, I mean, I was home. You know, I told Barbara Ann I'd wake up every morning, you know, thank the good Lord. And then after that, I'd move on, I'd have a couple of Odin fours, and then bring the dogs for a walk. And I tell Barb, well, now, if you've never slept with a professional dog walker, now's your chance. So, you know, no, but I loved it. I mean, for me, because I'm always torn. So for me, I mean, the longest I'd ever be home would be like maybe 10 days, if tops, like 2 weeks. And I mean, I would usually have something going on. But I mean, this time it was just like, you know, I actually had time to, like, you know, I'd pick Sabbath up from school, you know, bring him to his Jeet Kune Do classes, stuff like that. And just, it was awesome just hanging at home. And then, you know, but while we were home, we still were getting stuff done. We worked on the box set, you know, the None More Black box set. So that was a nice trip down memory lane. So we did that, worked on that. Then we did videos for it, you know, like 3 videos for it. And then after that, you know, Barb was like, hey, maybe we'll have you guys work on a new record. I said, well, one of the guys is going to come out to the Vatican. She goes, you got about a month. I said, all right, cool. That means I got a month to write a record. So, you know, and every day you just sit and you go hunting for riffs, you know, and you know, they're within this 2 mile radius. So you just keep digging and digging and digging until we find something. If we don't find something over here today, then we come back tomorrow, dig some more until we find something. So, you know, I mean, that's how you do it. Then the guys came out, and I mean, Jeffy and, you know, business as usual, Jeff and JD came out. And Jeff would just listen to the parts. I mean, I'd record everything. I mean, all the guitars were doubled, everything that you hear on the new album, the Doom Crew Inc. record, all done, all the music. So, I mean, Jeff would just listen and go, all right, Zach, what's it? I go, we'll come in on this part, and this is this section, whatever, you know, the arrangement. And Jeff would just play air drums to it and just go, okay, cool. Let me go record it. And then Jeff would take like 2 or 3 passes at it, and he's done. And he's like, all right, next song. He ended up tracking like 30 songs when we were out there. He was done in about a week. So, you know, it was, yeah, you just fly through it, man. But, yeah, so that's, and here we are now. And now the record's going to be coming out. So, you know, it's definitely awesome. So hopefully we'll be rolling over in Europe pretty soon, you know. I mean, they have shows up for all the festivals for 2022, right? So hopefully that's what'll be happening.
Well, if you need a DJ, I know a guy.
Exactly. There can only be one, and that's Shippy Shipwreck, buddy.
So what about the new Aussie record? Has that been made during the kind of lockdown pandemic times as well, or had that already started before started?
Oz had written a record with Andrew, and he was like, Zach, yeah, I just need you to play guitar on it and stuff like that. And, you know, if there's any things you want to change or, what, you know, or put your own things in there or whatever. So I was like, yeah, okay, I'll just send the tracks over. And then I had them in the Vatican, and I just did all the stuff on it. And then, like, you know, there's like 3 songs where I guess Tony Iommi's on it. You got Lord Iommi. You got Eric Clapton. You got Jeff Beck. And I'm playing, you know, on the other songs, I'm playing solos and everything like that. But on the tracks where they were on, I'm like playing rhythm guitar. I go, this is like, if you would have told 14-year-old me when I was 14 in my bedroom practicing in Jackson, New Jersey, that I was going to be on a record playing rhythm guitar with like all my heroes, forget about it, you know. So no, it was definitely an honor. So, you know, knock that out. So we'll see, and then, you know, we'll take it from there. Hopefully, you know, Oz got his neck done again, so we're just waiting on him until he's ready to go. Then we roll. So, but I mean, for the time being, I guess it's just going to be Black Label. I'm sure we'll fit some Zach Sabbath stuff in there, whatever, you know what I mean? Then you also have Generation X. I talk with Steve and Nuno and Tosin and all the guys all the time. So, and Ingve, but I mean, it's just like, well, whenever we roll with that again, and then, you know, always experience Hendrix and everything like that. So once everything starts opening up again, it's off. I mean, right now we're rolling Black Label.
Did you find yourself getting busier once you put down the drink? Because you're one of the busiest guys I know. Like, did everything accelerate once you cut back on the partying? Or were you always that guy? Like, even if you were partying hard, were you still out there every day hustling and getting it done?
We rolled. It was just, we were, you know. No, we just rolled like, you know, like tanks, man. You know what I mean? Like a patent tank brigade, bro. So, I mean, no, it didn't matter how banged up or anything we got. You answer the bell. So it's Black Label Special Ops, man. So, you know, the Berserkers. So the whole thing is, we always, I mean, back then when we were hitting the sauce, I was doing an album a year.
Yeah.
You know, some of those things, some of those years, it was 2 albums in a year. So, I mean, know, we were constantly working. So there was no, and you know, we were just having fun with it. You know, there was never, it never got in the way of us, you know, because it wasn't just me drinking back in the drinking days. It was the Doom Crew, and it was everybody in the band. The Doom Crew was like Animal House. It really was like Delta, you know what I mean?
Toga.
It was everybody. It was just a rolling tank, man. So, I mean, it's just like, people would come out with us, and they'd be in the sub for about less than a week. They'd be like, I got to get out of here. I can't live like this, man. You know what I mean? It's just like every day. It was shippy shipwreck every day, man. You know, you just wake up and you start all over again, bro. But I mean, it's not that, you know, all of a sudden I'm working more just because there's no more sauce. I mean, we still always had deadlines and everything like that. You know, it's just, you got to answer the bell. That's all. But I mean, like you said, we had a good time when the sauce was rolling, and now we're having a great, you know, well, I'm having a great time, you know, now that the sauce, I'm not the only one that's sober. So, I mean, you know, the rest of the fellas are still having a good time, but I mean, it's just means more for them.
There you go. Well, where does this drive come from then, Zach? I'd love to know a little bit about just kind of like your hustle and that ethic, you know, where it comes from. Were you always that way inclined as a kid? Did you always have ambitions and like drive?
Yeah, I mean, well, I I'm just saying, like when I played Little League and when we played football and everything like that, I always loved the whole process. There were, you know, the practices, the two-a-days, you know, because like a lot of people don't like, they just like playing the game. They don't like practice, and they, you know, and or vice versa. They don't like, you know, the whole process of, you know, we're practicing and then looking at the finished outcome. You know what I mean? So
all that behind the scenes work. Yeah.
I enjoyed it all. So, I mean, you know, I enjoyed all the practices and I enjoyed, you know, and then game day, but same thing, like, you know, I enjoy the rehearsals when we go to Black Label Boot Camp and us working out the song, seeing everybody and hanging out and then getting ready for the show. So I enjoy the whole thing. I mean, the recording process, you know, the writing process, the recording process. And then, you know, it's like Salvador Dali, and you have a blank canvas and you have all these crayons, and it's just like, you can go wherever your imagination takes you. So, and it's awesome. So, I mean, it's just like, and then you know, you can see when this thing starts coming to life. I think when you ask any musician or anybody, you know, just, are you writing a movie? And then, you know, you write The Exorcist, and then all of a sudden, you're directing this thing, and then all of a sudden it starts coming to life. And then, you know, as you're editing the movie, you're like, wow, this thing came out really good. So, I mean, you know, and then it starts coming to life, and then you're looking at from the beginning to when you started writing this thing to now the finished product when it comes out, and you know, it's in the movies. So, I think that I love the whole process, you know, cause a lot of people, like, they enjoy the live shows, and they don't like making the records, or they like making the records and they don't like touring. I mean, I love the whole thing. You know what I mean? I love the live shows. It's just a free for all. And then you got the studio is more controlled environment. You know, you can sit back and look at the picture and go, nah, you know what? I like it more. Let me make it a little more orange over here or whatever. You know, you can sit back and look at it. So, you know, live is just, it's one off. So, you know, it's just, it's a free for all. So, but, like you said, in the studio, it's more of it's controlled environment. Whereas live, it's throw and go. It's just, that's it. But I love them both. I love the whole process.
Well, you seem to love it all, man. You seem to love even just like, you know, kind of the merchandising and the marketing and the presentation of the thing as well. Like you're all in on that creative end of the business spectrum too, which I really admire about you.
I tell when people come up to me and they're like, hey, Zach, you got any advice for my son and my daughter, you know, they want to be in a band or they want to do music for a living or whatever. You know, I go, just be like Jimmy Page. You got to be all in, man. I mean, it's just like, and you know, it's just like, oh, well, you have to have other eggs in your basket. No, there's just one egg in your basket and that's it. It was Led Zeppelin. And there was no fallback plan. There was no plan B, plan C, plan. No, there is none of that. It's just one. And it's just that, and he willed that thing to be successful. Like, I'm going to do this. It's just like, we're in the middle of the ocean somewhere. You can't see land for miles. Just keep rowing, because we're going to find something. You know, we're going to run into something. So, or you can just sit there defeated and go, we're going to die. you know, so just figure it out, man. You know, so there's really not much of an option there. You either die or you keep growing, and that's it. So, you know, but no, just like dedicate everything. I mean, it's just like Jimmy Page says, you know, the life of Led Zeppelin was 12 years. It's living, breathing existence. But I mean, his whole life to this day, as we're talking right now, he's the custodian and the caretaker of the whole empire. Yeah. So, you know, and it's just, you know, create your own reality. Why be miserable, man? You know what I mean? Be your own Willy Wonka. You know what I'm saying? So,
well, look at you, dude. You're a fucking living embodiment of that. And I love it so much. Like, you know, the Doom Crew and the Black Label Society, like, that's a worldwide thing as well now that you've built, which is amazing. You must be so, like, proud and stoked of everything that you have built.
Yeah, you got to get, you know, you can't sit on the couch and expect them, you know, things to happen. You
just got to
pull up your sleeves and hike up your dress and get it done. That's it, man. You know, there is no substitute for hard work. You just do it. You want it, go get it. That's why I tell the same thing with my kids. I mean, it's just like, you know, you want something that, you know, I mean, back in the day, you know, it's just like you want to get a, you know, a Les Paul, you want to get a Marshall, well, go mow some lawns. It's just sitting there waiting for you to go door to door and knock and get it. You know what I mean? That's all. It just, you know, you can't get mad at somebody if they keep hustling. And somebody's got a, you know, a paper route, they clean pools, they mow people's lawns, they do whatever, you know, whatever you can do. So, you know, you can save up for a Marshall and a Les Paul. And then, what, you know, it's just like the reason why somebody has nice things is because they bust their ass and they put the work in. That's it. Class dismissed.
That's it. Yeah, there's no formula, is it? It's just work ethic, drive, go. Do you love being a dad, Zach? Like, you seem like such a family man. You seem to get so much joy from not just your kids, but I know, like, you know, you're a godfather to some of Joey's kids. I think one, or definitely, well, definitely one.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, no, it's great.
You love
it. You know what I mean? It's awesome. I mean, I wouldn't trade it for anything. So, you know, it's just, yeah, I mean, like you said, I mean, I love the whole thing. I mean, the kids and everything like that. I mean, mind you, they talk with their mother more. I usually find out stuff like, you know, second, third, fourth versions of things. You know, like, you know, but yeah, it's just as long as, but yeah, I'm like the last line of defense when it comes to that stuff. But I mean, but yeah, no, it's great. It's great. But, you know, the whole thing, you know, having Barb and the kids and everything like that. So it's awesome.
Were you childhood sweethearts, you and Barbara Ann? Did you meet when you were kids?
No, I've known Barb since like sixth grade. So, wow. You know, and then we went on a date and I couldn't get up her shirt. We went to go see the Urban Cowboy movie. I tried getting up her shirt. She shut me down. So I just dropped her like a bad habit on Monday. So, you know, that was the end of that. So she thought I was a tool bag ever since all throughout high school until our senior year of high school. So that's when we had a class together, like business ed or something like that, some business class. And then, you know, I was sitting next to her, and then I would cheat off her tests all the time and just hang out with her. And then we started becoming friends. And then after that, you know, we just ended up together. So, and here we are 30 plus years later. So.
Totally. Amazing. That's a rare story in rock and roll as well, right there, man. Isn't it? That's a special thing.
Yeah, well, I mean, but people ask, they're just like, Zach, is there any secret to it? I go, no, it's no secret. I think if you ask Mick and Keith, what's the secret to keeping the Stones together? Nothing. They enjoy each other's company. You know what I'm saying? I mean, somebody's a tool bag. They got to go, man. I mean, why would you spend 10 minutes, 5 minutes, or not 1 minute or 1 second of your life with somebody you think is a scumbag? You know, like, they got to go. Just goodbye. Actually, hopefully I'll never see you again, or, you know, or just like, but have a great life. Goodbye.
Yeah. No hard feelings, just no feelings at all.
Being in a relationship or even having anybody in your life that you don't like. No, just goodbye. I mean, no, that's why I said, like, oh, marriage is work or what? No, it isn't. It's not work. I mean, it's like friendship is work. You need a friend. You need a friend psychiatrist. What are you talking about? This guy's a tool bag. He's got to go. I don't want to be around this guy. I'm gonna be in. This guy's gonna be in a body bag, and I'm gonna be in jail for homicide. No, this guy's gotta go. You know, so you just remove that out of your life. You know what I mean?
Dude, that's, I watched the other day, I'd never seen it before, but I was trying to think of fun things to watch before talking to you, and I saw your roast and it was just the funniest shit. And there's the scene where William Shatner's giving you the talk, and he's like, I was looking for somebody that had something nobody else had, a really hot wife.
and Barbara Ann, you know, was giving Captain Kirk a blowjob. It was great. It was wonderful.
How did you meet William Shatner? How does that friendship start?
Barb was setting William Shatner's phaser to fun. Yeah, it was great. It was wonderful. That's how I got the Aussie gig, by the way. You know what I mean? So anyway, yeah. Sent Barb in for special ops to get me the gig. But I guess Eric and the guys and Josh, who put the roast together, they reached out to William Shatner. They had the Ultimate Warrior in it. I mean, like all these guys that I'm a massive fan of, you know, so it was literally pretty hysterical because I didn't see any of it. I mean, when I saw it, it was the first time I was seeing it just like everybody else. So it was definitely hilarious. So, and then William Shatner came up to the Vatican. I played on his record and it's awesome. So, I mean, amazing guy. I mean, it's just like, and so together, I mean, remembers everything. I mean, you know, all the stories. Because I went and saw him at a Star Trek convention. My father brought me and my buddy Bobby when we were kids because we were huge Star Trek fans. So went to some convention in New York City. I think it was at the Garden at the Felt Forum. And I told him about it. And he goes, yeah, I remember when we did that one. You know, like he even remembered, you know, he remembered that convention. So, I mean, it was just like, it was pretty awesome for sure, without a doubt. And now he's going up into space, man, for real.
For real. Amazing, isn't it?
Totally.
Did he share any good stories with you? The man like that has got a fucking absolute list as long as your arm.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, it's the same thing like sitting around with Ozzy, you know what I mean? Or, you know, when Keyser Butler would be around or any of the guys, you know what I mean? Like hearing these and, you know, and being such a huge fan and then hearing these like amazing stories is just, it's pretty mind blowing.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Yeah, he's one of a kind dude. And Sharon in that roast, she kills it. Like, she's as funny as any of the comedians, if not funnier. She's dropping some brutal jokes. She's
totally. It was great, man. I loved every second of it. It was awesome.
You took it all so well as well.
Yeah, the more brutal, the better. I mean, that's the whole point of the roasts. You know what I mean?
Could you share with me a good Sharon story, Zach? I imagine you get asked about Aussie stories all the time, but for me, Sharon is just as funny. And she seems like somebody who would be like tough if she needs to be, but also like super lovely and caring. Have you got any fond memories of times with Sharon?
For me, I mean, you know, like the whole thing is, you know, her mom always gets this rap of whatever. I mean, the whole thing is, hey, she's always been fair with everybody. You know what I mean? It's just that when people are taking advantage and stuff like that, just like anybody else, you know what I mean? You'd be like, nah, I don't think so, man. You know what I mean? But no, she just gets that reputation from that. But I mean, she's always been fair with everybody. You know what I mean? It's just like, you know, and then obviously she's got to protect Ozzy. You know what I mean? Just like how Peter Grant would protect Led Zeppelin if they're getting ripped off. She's like, nah, this ain't right. You know what I mean? So it's you know, I think the stories get blown out of proportion in that regard. You know what I mean? So it's just like, you know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with hanging someone out of a building, you know, when you're like 18 stories up. I mean, you know, the guy wanted to rip you off for like 18 cents, you know? So that's the reason why we brought him up 18 stories and hung him out the building. You know what I mean? That's a naive. We want that money back, you know, but no, I mean, you know, I mean, all the stories are, it's just common sense, man. You know, you treat people the way they treat you, you know?
Oh. Is that where you learned that from? Because, you know, going back to what I was saying earlier, like being out on the road with you, you treated me so well. You know, and obviously your introduction, I guess, to big scale touring would have been with Ozzy. Is that kind of where you learned how to treat, you know, your crew and the support acts and everybody out on the road with you, was through watching how they treated people?
Well, no, I mean, I don't think you need to be taught that. I mean, your parents can teach you manners and everything like that the right way, you know, but you being kind to people, I mean, that's just, you know, it's just, you're either a tool bag or you ain't, you know what I mean? So no, I just, because you know, people always ask, you know, like, Zach, what did you learn from your father and what'd you learn from Ozzy? I go, nothing that I didn't already know. You know what I mean? No, you just, you be a good person, you work hard, and that's it. I don't know, you know. But if you don't know that already, I mean, you know, then, you know, lions surround themselves with other lions. They don't, you know, hyenas, they don't roll with them. So, and they get sorted out and they just, and they fall by the wayside. So now you already know when you're born, when you, you know, when a lion's born, it's just, it doesn't need to be told what it is. It already knows. Like a great white shark, you know what I mean? It doesn't need to be told. It's, and its parents just leave it right there and it already knows what it's got to do. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, I'm going to be an actor and I'm going to be in a movie called Jaws. So, you know what I mean? A great white already knows what it needs to do.
So, do you remember seeing that movie at the cinema when you were a kid? It was such a big movie at that time.
Oh, yeah. I remember my father took me to that one, man. I was 8 years old or 8 or 9 years old when my father took me to see it. Beyond terrified. I was terrified to sit on the toilet when I got home, bro.
Literally. Terrified.
I thought a great white was going to jump out of the toilet and bite my ass, man.
There's no beach holidays getting booked that summer, is there? 77 after Jaws comes out.
No, forget about it, man. Yeah, when you're 9 years old, I mean, I was beyond terrified. But mind you, I wanted to become a marine biologist after seeing that, though, because I love great white sharks. So, you know, like all, I think all boys love great white sharks. I mean, you know, all our kids, between Jesse, John, Michael, Hendrix, and Sabbath, whenever Shark Week comes on, they're glued to it. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it's a great white shark, man.
What were you doing for work, Zach, before, you know, you joined Ozzy Band? How were you earning money as a kid before that?
Well, no, I worked at a gas station, Getty Gas Station. I was worked in the produce department at Fine Fare, because it's a family affair. And I worked at a supermarket in the produce section. And I, you know, obviously mowing lawns and stuff like that. And then what else I do? It was mostly just pumping gas and then doing everything like that. And then, you know, so I was teaching guitar and stuff like that. But then, you know, and then I started playing with Oz when I was 19. So, you know, 19, 20 years old is when I started with the boss.
And it's just the most, I mean, I know you've told that story a billion times, so I won't ask you to tell it now. But like just that whole story of going from total obscurity to playing guitar with the biggest legend in rock and roll. It's like a dream, isn't it? It's such a phenomenal success story.
No, totally, man. Without a doubt. So, you know, and being such a huge fan, I mean, because it's so funny because like Randy St. Rhodes he didn't like Black Sabbath at all. And, you know, I mean, I just assumed everybody loves Black Sabbath, you know what I mean? Being a kid. So, you know, I mean, how could you not like Black Sabbath and Led Zeppelin and, you know, all these other, you know, it's just like or the Beatles or the Stones. I just figure everybody likes them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So, but yeah, it was so funny when Randy got in the band. But I mean, but then again, I mean, that's what made that suit work, was the fact that Randy was coming from a whole other direction and then Ozzy was here. And that's what made it sound fresh and new and unique. But no, but when I came in, I'm just a huge Sabbath fan. So, I mean, and obviously, you know, Ozzy, when he did, I was a fan of obviously St. Rhodes, huge on me, and I love Jake. So, you know, I'm a fan you know, here I am having posters of Manchester United up on my wall and all the great players. And now I'm wearing the uniform and I'm playing at Manchester United. So that's pretty much my story. You know, it'd be like David Beckham his whole life, loving Manchester United. And then he's finally playing for the team. So, yeah, it's pretty surreal for sure.
As a kid of that age with that little experience in that arena, where does the confidence come from? You know, obviously you can play, that's why you get the gig, but it also takes having that self-belief as well. Were you a confident kid, or did you kind of just have to like learn to run before you could walk in that situation? Like, put me in the mindset of being 19 and on stage with Ozzy.
Yeah, you just gotta come in there and you know, I mean, just like with Randy, I mean, like, it's like him coming in after Lord Iommi, you know what I mean? It's just like, you can't think you got to fill somebody's shoes. You got to bring in your own set of shoes. You know what I mean? And that's what Randy did. And the same thing with Jake, you know, I mean, Jake had it worse than me because Jake was coming in right after Randy, you know what I mean? So, you know, and Jake just, you know, he answered the bell. He came in and just sounded like Jake. You know what I mean? You can't copy somebody. You know what I mean? In that regard, I'm saying, you know, everybody's unique anyway. Even when it doesn't matter who you are. I mean, like the whole thing is you can play the same licks as somebody else. You're going to sound like, it's going to sound like Shippy Shipwreck playing a Keith Richards lick. You know what I mean? No matter whether you're sober or you just had another bottle of Jack in you. You know what I mean? It's going to sound like Shippy Shipwreck. So, I mean, but no, just like, you know, Keith Richards could play Chuck Berry licks. But it's going to sound like Keith playing Chuck Berry licks. You know what I mean?
And that's the beauty of it, isn't it? That's why it sounds good.
I think that's the beautiful thing. When Randy was playing Sabbath songs, it sounds like Randy playing Sabbath songs. You know what I mean? Because it's, and I think that's the beautiful thing about it. You know, everybody has their own fingerprint on everything. Even if you try to play it exactly the same with all the you know, the same exact inflections, you're going to have your own thing in there. You know what I mean? Which is awesome. That's what makes it so much fun.
I've got an Aussie story to tell you, Zach. You'll enjoy this. I've only interviewed him once in my life. It was over the phone. And I was asking him about Mumma, I'm Coming Home, because it's just one of my favorite songs ever. And the lyrics particularly. And I knew that Lemmy had written them, but I wanted to kind of hear Ozzy's version of events. And he's like, well, you know, I went to Lem's house. I gave him the music. You know, I came back later that afternoon. And he'd written two versions of the same song. Two versions in an afternoon. He goes, if that was me, it would have taken a month. Longer than a month.
Oh, totally, man. No, Lemmy knocked it out of the park on that one. Yeah, I mean, Lemmy was just like, oh, just send the music over and what you guys have. You know, because like, we just had like a rehearsal of it in Ozzy with the melody, you know. And so this way, Lemmy's got to fit the syllables. The words got to fit, you know, the melody. Yep. You know what I mean? So, but I mean, Ozzy and Lemmy, I mean, they're aside of great friends, they were a great team together too, you know, because Lemmy wrote a couple lyrics, Hellraiser, and he wrote a couple other lyrics on the record. You know what I mean? So, but yeah, without a doubt.
That's an amazing man right there. Did you have some nights with Lemmy back in the day? Did you enjoy
I mean, when he rolled with us on the No More Tears tour, it was great, you know, like hanging out with Lemmy. I mean, it was just super cool and just great people. And, you know, and then you hear all the stories and everything. It's just amazing. You know, not once ever did I ever see him hammered, ever. All those times we'd go out drinking or whatever. Never. No, never. Ever. Just always straight. You know, I mean, no matter if he drank, you know, 10 bottles of Jack Daniels, he's still able to work heavy machinery at that point. You know what I mean? So, yeah, he was always on top of it, always in control and everything like that. So, but yeah, he was truly unique. I mean, when you really think about his legacy, I mean, it really is awesome in regards to he lived his life exactly the way he wanted to live it. Like, no one's going to tell me what to do. No one's like, I'm going to play my music and I'm not going to conform to anything, whether I sell a million records or I sell three records. You know what I mean? It's just, I'm going to be happy doing my own thing. Whether it's my own little world, I'm happy in it. You know what I mean? I like going, I do my tours. I don't need to be married. I don't need to fit into these confines of everything you need, you know, that I have to do. well, you should be doing this. You should be doing, no, I want to do what I want to do, what makes me happy. So, I mean, that truly is his legacy to me. You know, it's just the freedom of just doing things your way and not, and sticking to it. You know what I mean? So, without a doubt.
Yeah. Talemi, that's a really cool thing that you pointed out there. It's about this idea of, you know, some people say, oh, I'm an outlaw. I march to the beat of my own drum, but he truly did, didn't he? He lived by example and he forged his own path.
I mean, like I said, it's not like you have to be an outlaw and go against things. It's just like, no, I don't like that. I'm not going to do that. You know, it's like, why don't you shave, or why don't you do this, or why don't you do that, or why don't we try this? Well, it's like, no, I don't feel comfortable doing that. I'm not going to do it. You know what I'm just saying, like that in regard to anything in your life. You know what I mean? It's just like you have some job and you can't stand it and you're making good money. You're just like, I don't like doing this, man. I'd rather make less money and do this because I'm happier. You know what I mean? And you can't put a price tag on your happiness, man. You just can't. So, you know, that's just the secret to life right there, man.
Amen. Zach, I went for a really long walk today and I listened to the two Book of Shadows albums. And they're just beautiful. Like, I know that you've always been interested in Allman Brothers and country music and Skinner and all of that. And obviously, you know, Pride and Glory preceded Black Label, but hearing you strip it back on those two albums, obviously, you know, there's some shredding in there as well, but like, it's a different gear, isn't it? And I just thought they were just such amazing records. It's the first time like I delved into both and explored them in succession. And it was just blown away. Amazing songwriting, amazing playing, amazing singing. Love them.
Thanks a lot, brother. Yeah, I mean, you know, as much as I love listening to Zeppelin doing, you know, Black Dog, I love when they do Going to California, and the same thing with Sabbath. I can listen to Into the Void, and then I love it when they do Changes, you know. So, yeah, I've always loved the, you know, the heavy stuff, and I love the mellow stuff, sitting behind a piano or sitting with an acoustic guitar. It's just a whole nother world. You know what I mean? Just the mellow stuff. And I, like you said, I love both. So why not do both? But yeah, when we do the Book of Shadows records, this way, you know, I mean, because there's mellow stuff on Black Label things as well. But it's just the Book of Shadows record, you know exactly what you're getting. It's going to be mellow from the moment you put the needle on the thing to the end of the record, you know. So
do you feel like you can delve into different topics and explore different lyrical ideas with those albums, you know, perhaps?
No, I mean, no, just the lyrics are whatever interests me is what I'm going to write about, you know, whatever subject matter I want to write about, or something that interests me, or, you know, usually something that's happened to me or something that's happened to somebody else I know or whatever, you know, or I could be reading something, or, you know, or somebody I think had an amazing life. It's just like, yeah, wow. But, you know, I can tell you what I wrote the song about, you know, but between metaphors and everything like that, you'd be like, Zach, I would have never known that's what that song's about. You know what I mean? But that's the beautiful thing about lyrics and songs in general, because they can mean, you could have three different people and they mean, a song means something completely different to each person. You know what I mean? That's the great thing about music.
Yeah, if it comes from the heart and it's just truthful, then people attach to it and identify with it, don't they? Because real recognizes real. And that's the thing that I love about music more than anything, I think, is it's this universal language that transcends boundaries and barriers. It's just like somebody telling their truth, it connects with you and you experience it together. It's amazing.
Yes, and you know, that's the reason why I was such a huge fan of the Macarena. You know what I mean?
it's universal.
Me. Yes, it's universal. It spoke to me and I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Are you still having fun on social media? You're one of my favorite people to follow on there. You know, even in the last couple of years when things have been a bit dark for quite a few people in the entertainment industry, there's always this bright light of hope, which is Zach Wilde online. You know, the humor always comes across and it continues to, and I love that about you.
It's slightly painful. I mean, between JD and the beatdowns he puts on me. But you know, I do it for other people's happiness and their, you know, to put a moment of joy into people's lives. It's slightly painful. I'm in the ER.
You're suffering for the greater good of humanity.
Intensive care unit as well, many a time. But it's, you know, I do it for people's joy and people's happiness. I like to bring that light into people's lives, as painful as it is.
Dude, and you do. You absolutely do. I hope you know that you do. What's the connection that you share with your audience? Because, you know, you've got your own fucking, we were talking earlier on about like creating your own universes. You have that. What does the BLS crew mean to you, you know, worldwide?
Well, no, I mean, to me, it's one extended family. I mean, I always thought the coolest thing ever was like when I was growing up, my buddy Scott, he had 11, you know, there was six brothers and five sisters he had. The Smiths, they lived next door to us. I remember Dougie's, Scott's older brothers, were his one older brother, Dougie, him and his buddies, they were all deadheads. And I just thought the coolest thing about the dead was, I mean, it really was its own world. I mean, I'm just saying like, well, they'd have friends from all over the place, whether it was from, you know, we're in Jersey. They had friends from like Staten Island, Boston, Philadelphia, all over the place from, you know, around that area, Trenton, Connecticut. They'd all get together in Jersey. And then have these massive blowout keg parties. And then they'd go road trip and go follow the dead for like a week or a week and a half, 2 weeks or whatever. And they did this pilgrimage. Like every time the dead would be on tour, I was like, that is like the coolest thing that this band is actually just bringing people together from all over. And like, you know, people you would have never known. It's like, man, how'd you know, wouldn't you meet Shippy Shipwreck? And it's just like, oh, no, dude, you know, I saw you in a bar with a Black Sabbath T-shirt on. And I was like, hey, man, you going to the gig or whatever? And you're like, yeah, man. And then we just start talking. The next thing you know, you're the best man at my wedding 8 years from now. But yeah. What brought us together was the band. You know what I mean? And then we all, and it keeps us all our friends together and everything like that is the, and the common thread we have is the band. So I just always thought that was like the coolest thing ever because it's bigger than a band. You know, it takes on a life of its own. So, I mean, it's pretty much what Black Label's at right now. I mean, it's just like people from all over the world are just, we have like, you know, that's the rolling gig. We have like chapters all over the world. So, you know, people keep in touch, especially with social media nowadays. You know, you can keep in touch with your friends that are in England, you know, with the UK chapter. It's like, oh, dude, I'll fly out, you know, for the Royal Albert Hall show. Like when we played there, there was people from the States that were flying out. It was like, man, I've never been to England before. Actually, we'll go see the band and make it an event. You know, so like you go see the band, but you're going to hang out in England with your friends and go all these pubs and have a good time and everything like that. But what brought you all together was the band. So, yeah, it's great. It's more like I would say that, but we don't have fans. We have this more fans, like one gigantic family. So it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, you're very right. You mentioned the Royal Albert Hall there. What did it mean to you to play that building? And when did you first become aware of that as a hallowed ground of epic
music? Well, yeah, I mean,
music?
You know, the Royal Albert Hall is kind of like for Ozzy and everybody else. It's like Madison Square Garden. You know, I mean, it's like that's, yep. You know, the Beatles played there. The Stones played there. Cream played there. Zeppelin, Sabbath. I mean, all my heroes have played the Royal Albert Hall. So. No, it was definitely an honor, and it was like, wow, I can't believe we're playing here. So it was definitely beyond awesome, for sure.
When you play with Ozzy now, do you notice Black Label fans in the crowd? Do you get a lot of that? Like, do you see the jackets and the patches?
Yeah. At a Black Label gig, we got, you know, Dimebag fans coming down. You got Ozzy fans, you know, because I just look out in the crowd, you see the shirts. You know, you see Dimebag shirts, I see Ozzy shirts, I see, you know, Sabbath shirts. You know, I mean, it's one, you know. Everybody's on the same page. So, it's awesome. Same thing, you know, I mean, if you're a Black Label fan, you're going to be an Ozzy fan and a Dimebag fan, you know?
Hell yeah, dude. Well, listen, I'll let you go in a minute. Before we do, Zach Sabbath, is there any plans to do another re-record of another Sabbath album?
Knock them all out, man. I guess we're going to do the Paranoid record next. You know what I mean?
Happening, is it?
Yeah, for sure. We'll do them all. Why not?
I don't doubt it. If you say it, I believe it will happen. Well, fucking A, dude, it's been so nice catching up with you, man. And like I said, just thank you for everything.
You got it, Father Matt. We'll be rolling before you know it, man.
I hope so. Give my love to Talina, and we'll talk soon. Have a great Christmas and all of that. And
right back at you, my brother.
2022 is going to be the year. I can feel it. Everything's coming back.
Next time we see you, when we're out on the road with our Zach Sabbath, the Black Label, I'll have I'll have two bottles, a bottle of Jack for you, and then non-alcoholic Jack. You know, it tastes like Jack. There's no alcohol in it. So you can choose whatever one you want to go with.
I can do the blue or the red pill option, Matrix style.
Exactly.
bro. Zach, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much, dude. Enjoy the rest of the tour. See you soon.
Talk to you a bit, Father Matt. Take it easy, my brother.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.